Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, and I'd love to hear from you. Why celebrate Christmas? Why celebrate Christmas when we understand, according to the George Barna report, that about 46%, only about 46% of Christians celebrate Christmas as a holy day and not just a frivolous holiday? It is very important for us to understand why. And the reason we should celebrate Christmas is because it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great question has been asked throughout history, who is Jesus? Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Was he just a good example? Who is Jesus? Some say that Jesus was simply a good man. Others say that he was a good person, a good teacher that we should emulate. Others say that he was a fraud. Even others argue that Jesus is just a myth and should not be worshipped as God at all. Here's a brief statement that Dr. Emory Bancroft in his Elemental Theology has written introducing Christology. And I've used this many times down through the years. Dr. Bancroft said, the central figure of the world's history, that the world cannot forget him while it remembers history, for it is his, H-I-S, story, his story. Remember, history is his story. To leave out the hint, leave Jesus out would be like astronomy without stars. It would be like botany without flowers. And then Dr. Horace Bushnell said, it would be easier to untwist all of the beams of light in the sky and to separate and erase one of the primary colors than to get the character of Jesus Christ out of this world. And that's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Amen. I'm delighted that any place you turn, any place you go, anything that you see, you look up and you see the skies and you understand that Jesus Christ is God and that he created them. You look out and you see the beautiful mountains and the hillsides and the fountains and the valleys and the rivers and the streams, and you realize that Jesus Christ as God created them. You look out and you see the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you realize that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Amen.
As well as anything that's in this world today. It's Jesus Christ that is the creator, controller, the owner, and the master of it all. So we ought to celebrate Christmas because we're celebrating the birth of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May I say to you today, as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this season, how are you celebrating Christmas in your home? What are you doing? Perhaps you'd like to call in and just give a little insight for our listeners how you're celebrating this Christmas. I pray that you're not staying locked in with your latex gloves on and the mask covering everything but your eyeballs, and that you're afraid to get outside, you're afraid to breathe fresh air because somehow, some way, the COVID could get you.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, COVID is a deathly pathogen. But let me say this dogmatically, and it can be proven with proper research on the past several years. You look at the deaths from pneumonia and from the regular virus, influenza, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, and you will find that it is on par with what we're finding today with the total deaths. Now, you take the deaths and you take the best way to study this, ladies and gentlemen, And I've got research in my archive showing this. You take the total number of deaths by automobile accidents, by bullet wounds, by death in general, by all of the pathogens that's out there. You take that total number. We have almost zip zero, no increase in 2020 for the total deaths. And yet we have made this COVID-19 a big booger bear that somehow, some way, we're supposed to cancel Christmas. We're supposed to simply put our lives on hold. We're to simply, Pastor Davis was just telling me that while we're on the news break, that up in his part of the world, people are out raking their yards with masks on.
Amen.
As though
too much fear.
That's right. Too much fear.
Amen.
And that is absolutely clouding the celebration for Christmas.
Amen.
It's clouding it because I've talked with people that said, well, we're going to celebrate Christmas, but we're going to do it alone. We're going to celebrate Christmas, but we're going to stay at home. We're going to celebrate Christmas this year, but we're not going to see mom and daddy or grandpa. We're just simply going to stay at home by ourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the worst thing that can be done ethically, societally, and emotionally for any human being, is to make us be alone, to segment, segregate, and to make us be alone.
Amen.
It brings about further fear. It brings about further hysteria. It brings about emotional imbalance. It brings about the dread of what is called suicide today in society. And I'm just absolutely opposed to it. So we ask the question, Pastor Davis, who is Jesus? I like what the Apostle Peter said in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Jesus said in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then it says in verse 14, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, others say that Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Now, Pastor, I don't know of any more dogmatic declaration of faith in Jesus Christ than that statement by Peter. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas celebration, we need to celebrate it realizing that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
Now, let me ask our listening audience a question. If you had a president was going to come visit you, if you had, whether it's, you pick your president, I don't care who it is, pick your president. If that president's in town and you get a ring on the phone, he's going to come visit you. Or if the mayor of the city, whatever mayor you admire, is going to come visit you, would you look forward to with great anticipation and set up as a host that guest would be worthy to be hosted by? Or would you simply be nonchalant in your flip-flops and your evening nightgown or your pajamas and your hair rolled up? How would you greet that one at the door?
You wouldn't
greet him that way if you're greeting a president, if you're greeting the mayor or some dignitary. But somehow, some way, we have so decentralized the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is that multitudes take the nonchalant attitude, okay, I'll just forego Christmas because, after all, CD says we need to do that. CDC, and Dr. Fauci, the dictator guru in a white jacket, says that we need to simply ignore this Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, we go back to the central question. Who is Jesus Christ? Many celebrate Jesus' birth and worship Jesus as that infant in the manger scene. Nothing's wrong, Pastor Davis, with a manger scene. I love to see manger scenes.
Amen.
But there's a whole lot wrong with it, ladies and gentlemen, if we still envision Jesus being that babe in the manger. That is no longer the Jesus that we serve. That is no longer who we serve today. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, God incarnate. Jesus Christ is the one that is the season of Christmas.
Amen.
So, Pastor Davis, the prophecy of Jesus' first advent was found in Isaiah 7:14. Would you read that for us for a moment?
Amen.
Isaiah 7:14. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this Isaiah 7:14 is the prophetic text talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Messiah, Savior of the world. And it is the prophesying the first advent, and it was some 750 years before Jesus Christ broke on the scene of humanity.
Amen. It says here, amen, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. So not only is he, amen, the Savior of the world, but he's a sign to us, Dr. Youngblood, a sign, amen. God gave him to us as a sign. And this is the sign, amen. This is how the sign came. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen?
Amen? God with us.
So when we study that word Emmanuel, amen, it means God with us.
Absolutely.
God
Absolutely.
Came down in this world to be with us.
Yeah.
Not only did he send his son, but he also came himself. Amen.
Because he is God.
That's Amen.
It. That's
Amen.
The wonder of it all. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, and perhaps you've heard that verse read. Perhaps you've heard it distorted by some guru in the pulpit that didn't have enough sense to recognize that he needed to find something selling cars or selling cotton or something and not preaching because he destroyed it. And there are a lot of the liberal gurus today that will tell you in Isaiah 7:14, where it says a virgin shall conceive, and they will tell you that word virgin simply means a young maiden. And they will tell you it has nothing to do with virginity or with purity of that individual. And they're exactly right in Isaiah 7:14. But listen, hang on. Don't stop there. The word in Isaiah 7:14 says a virgin shall conceive. It is the Hebrew word alma, A-L-M-A-H, alma. Alma simply means a young woman, a young maiden, has no connotation of spiritual or physical purity. But then in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary
Amen.
That she was going to have a child, she was the virgin, the scripture says, and it's the word parthenos, parthenos. And the word parthenos, that's P-A-R-T-H-E-N-O-S. N or N-O-S. Parthenos simply means, ladies and gentlemen, a young woman that's never had sexual relationship. A young virgin, a young female virgin that's never had sexual relationship. This is the reason it brought about such consternation for Mary when the angel Gabriel said, Mary, you're going to have a son.
Amen.
It's going to be called Jesus. And then that's in chapter 1 of the gospel according to Luke, verse 26 through verse 35. It's the right column, right page, the top of the verse. Top of the verse is in that column for my Bible. And then in verse 35, God is consoling her. The angel is trying to console Mary because she's so absolutely not irate, not angry, but in consternation. But how is this possible? Because I've never known a man. That is the euphemism for saying I've never had a sexual relationship, which
Amen.
Is true for her. But in verse 35, it reminds her, and let me just paraphrase that text for you, and then I'll get Brother Davis to read that for us in a moment.
Amen.
But in Luke's Gospel 1, verse 35, Mary is being consoled by the angel saying that that which is going to happen in you, within your body is as a result of the Holy Spirit of God, God coming over you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is indicative of the fact that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is God via, coming via, the Virgin Mary's womb into this world.
Amen.
That happened to be the human vehicle by which he entered into life, into this world. He left heaven's glory to come to earth's gloom to be the Savior of whosoever will. Read that verse for us, Pastor,
Amen.
In verse 35 of chapter 1.
Luke 1, 35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen.
The Son of God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating Christmas. We ask the question for this broadcast, why celebrate Christmas? Christmas is all about the Christ of Christmas. And now there are folks that get all rattled about, well, Jesus wasn't born in December. He was born in January, February, March, April. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care whether it's December or April.
Amen.
I don't care.
Amen. He's here.
The fact is that he was born
Amen.
Into this world.
Praise
and
God.
And anything that would denigrate and or to in any way dis or in any way distract one from that fact would be trying be attempting to take away from the wonderful celebration this time of the year. We celebrate Christmas because it is Christmas. It is Christ coming into this world. Pastor, when we look at the prophecy of Jesus coming, it was fulfilled from that prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, verse 26 and following. Then it's also found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1 through 20.
Amen.
It's a wonderful story there, ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, where the shepherds out in the field watching their flock by night, And the announcement comes to them that Jesus Christ is born. And in the 15th verse, it's very, very important that you understand Luke chapter 2, verse 15. After they had heard this, they said, "Let us now go." There was an excitement in their voice. There was an excitement in their attitude. There was a determination in their decision. They said, "Let us now go." Pastor, I say, they couldn't have been Baptists because they didn't have a business meeting. They didn't have a conference. They didn't vote on it. They just said, "Let's go."
Amen.
They just said, "Let's go. We Amen. Want to see Jesus. We've heard his birth. We've heard about it. We want to go find him, and we want to go see him." And ladies and gentlemen, they did. And when they left with exuberance and joy and celebration and praise. And the Bible says they told everybody, everywhere, everything that they had seen, that they had been told, they had heard, and it was about Jesus Christ. They were excited about the birth of Jesus. And I Amen. Think that's the way it ought to be for us to celebrate Christmas, Pastor.
Amen.
There ought to be an excitement in that celebration. Not a fear because of COVID. Not a fear because of a pandemic. It's a plandemic. It's not Amen. A pandemic. Not a fear because of thinking you need to wear gloves or a mask in some fashion, but a rejoicing in the season and not procrastinating, not putting off, and not some way canceling the celebration of Christmas.
Amen. And you know, Dr. Youngblood, the Bible does not really say specifically how long it took them to get to where Jesus was. They said, "Let us go."
That's right.
Now, other portions of scripture tell us, amen, that when he was born, that they wrapped the babe in swaddling clothes.
That's right.
And laid him in a manger.
Right.
Yet, other portions of scripture said that when the wise men got there, they found the child. Mm-hmm. So that's telling me, Dr. Youngblood, he had to be a little bit older than a babe by the time they found him, because there's no telling how long it took them to travel through the hot desert or whatever they had to go through in order to get to where the baby child Jesus
yes.
was.
That
Amen?
Was when, that's when the wise men went to see him. And the historians tell us, and the biblical record would reveal, that when the wise men got there, he was about 2 years old.
Amen.
When the shepherds left, they were left immediately and went to where Jesus and Mary were and worshiped him. And Mary, the scripture says in verse 18 and 19 of Luke's gospel, the second chapter, Mary kept all of these sayings, all of these things in her heart and pondered them.
Amen.
She was
Amen.
Pondering that 80-mile
Amen.
Journey
she
that
was
she
a
had
happy
on
mother.
The donkey's back. She was pondering the fact that the governor had given a decree that they need to go be taxed. She was pondering that fact that there was no room for them in the end. She was pondering the fact that God had provided for her a divine private maternity ward.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully at this little, I would just say, nugget of rejoicing over the text, where the scripture says there was no room for them in the inn. A lot of people today look at that and say, "Wow, they didn't have any room for Jesus." That's correct. Most people do not make room for Jesus today in the celebration of Christmas. But when Jesus was birthed, he was birthed in a stall, in a trough with straw in it, in a manger, in a scene that you see today where you'd have horses and cattle, etc., bedded down, perhaps in a cave in the side of a mountainside in Bethlehem would be the picture, the image. But had it been in an inn, it wouldn't have been a Days Inn, it wouldn't have been a Holiday Inn, it wouldn't have been any one of the inns that we think about today. In an inn, I-N-N, that is a place to stay of that day. It was simply a pole structure. It had a tent-like over it with something coming down as a tent-like sides. It had like tent poles holding it up, open floor, open dirt, open ground or grass. And people would come to the door and pay the innkeeper a few coins to go in. You'd have your own bedroll. You'd unfurl the bedroll, and then you would sleep there overnight. And it was just a little pathway between the bedrolls. Had Mary and Joseph found room in the inn, she would have become the spectacle of society in giving birth to Jesus in a public setting.
Amen.
God prevented that by putting them in an animal stall in the inn that she was placed in. There was no room for them in the inn, but the inn that God placed them in was God's divine maternity ward for privacy for Mary to give birth to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate Thanksgiving. We need to do so with joy and the recognition, the realization of who Jesus Christ is. When Jesus first came into the world, there was no recognition. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. There was no reception for him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we look at that, Pastor, and most of the time we look at it with disdain, saying how sad that that situation was. But we need to understand when we transfer that to 21st century America. People are going and coming with haste. People are going and coming today in hysteria. People are going and coming today in a somber solemnity and seriousness that I don't believe I've ever seen on the faces and the hearts and the minds of people in America to this date. But that is taking place today. And even with that, they're not giving room for Jesus. That's Amen. The sad thing about this Christmas. So the question that goes back to the origin, why do we celebrate Christmas? We should celebrate it because it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not because it's a Christmas party, not because it's a company party, not because it's a time of frivolity, not because it's a time of being off from work, not because it's a time that we get together for a lot of food, not because we get together with family. Although the family and friends and the food and the fellowship with family is wonderful, the focus ought to be on Jesus Christ. He's the real reason for the season.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm very grateful to God for having masterfully planned this situation to work out the way that it did.
Yes.
Because he could have been born in a palace in
right.
royalty.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had done that, then only the rich would have had access to him.
That's right.
You and I, with our few nickels to rub together, yes. probably never would have got a chance to
That's
see
right,
him.
Exactly.
We couldn't afford the ticket to
That's
get
right.
in.
You got it.
But amen, he came, amen, born meek and lowly,
mm-hmm.
amen, amongst the shepherds, amen, the lowest people in society, those who were looked down upon
yes,
by
right.
other people, right. amen. That's who he was born to, amen, and amongst.
And
so
that,
God, amen, made it accessible for us today, amen, not the ones sitting high on the totem pole.
That's right.
But those who are meek and lowly in heart, amen, they are the ones, amen, who are able to receive him as Savior on today.
You're exactly amen. Right. The announcement didn't know to go to royalty. The announcement went to the lowest people on the totem pole of
amen.
Society of that day. The shepherds out in the field watching their flock by night, the scripture says.
Amen.
The
amen.
Wonderful, wonderful aspect of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize that, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ came into the world for whosoever will. The word will, W-I-L-L, whosoever will may come. The word will means volition. It means choice. Whosoever will may say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
But Pastor, we need to understand, and our listeners need to understand, going back to a premise that multitudes make today and a wrong premise to be, and they say that Jesus Christ just began at Bethlehem. Jesus Christ preexisted before Bethlehem. In fact, the text that you read earlier in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it talks about he is the father of eternity is what the scripture literally says.
Amen.
If you have that, read that, if you would, please.
Amen.
Micah chapter 5, verse 2.
Amen. 5 and 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
From everlasting.
Amen.
About
so that lets me know, amen,
right.
from the foundation of the world, amen, Christ was already there.
Right. I like
amen.
To see these people that say that they just want a red letter edition of the Bible because that's what Jesus said. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ is God, and he is, if he is from eternity past to eternity future and eternity present, if Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God come into flesh, and he is, when you look at the scripture in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is verifiable in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, where it tells us there that everything that was created by Jesus. Everything that's in the heavens, everything that's on the earth, everything that's beneath the heavens, everything that's beneath the earth, everything that is visible, everything that's invisible. The Bible says that Jesus Christ created it. And in the 17th verse of that in Colossians chapter 1, it says that he is the one that is the divine superglue that holds this whole world together.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
We need to celebrate Christmas and realizing who Jesus is.
Amen.
He's not that little babe in Bethlehem anymore. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And soon coming again.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing is, Pastor, it was God's perfect timing. Amen. In Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time,
God
sent forth his son.
Amen. I just love that. Amen.
Amen.
Because God never does anything before the time.
That's right.
Amen. A whole lot of time we ask God to change situations and to change people. But sometimes he has to change you first.
That's right.
To condition you to be ready for what he has in store for you.
He's always on time. He's never before time. He's never late. He's never
Amen.
Missed an appointment. You don't have to go through 14 secretaries to get to him. You don't have to go through the bodyguards and the people to get to him. He is always accessible, and he's always, always, always on time.
Amen. I heard old church mother say he's the slowest man I know.
That's right.
But he's always on time.
Always
Amen.
On time. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
That's a good statement. I like that.
Amen.
One of the great false teachers, if you want to call them great false teachers, the liberal false teachers, they deny the virgin birth. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the only begotten. That means the uniquely born one. It is the proof positive text for the virgin birth. There are a lot of translations today, Pastor, that leave out the only begotten.
Amen.
It says that God gave his only son. No, 10,000 times no. God gave his only begotten son.
Begotten.
That's the uniquely born one.
Amen.
And that's absolutely a fact that we need to recognize and cling on to. In fact, Pastor, I'm going to turn to John chapter 1. And I want to close our broadcast today with this. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Amen.
And then the 14th verse says, and the Word, that's the Logos of God, and the Word was made flesh, speaking of Jesus, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten, it's again the unique born one of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten, speaking of Jesus' virgin birth, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Amen.
That word declared him is, we get our word exegete. He has exegeted him. Ladies and gentlemen, we've not seen God, but if we've seen Jesus in the heart, we've said yes to him, we have seen God.
Amen.
The purpose of Jesus Christ coming is to reveal God to man and to draw man to God through the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pastor Davidson, about 30 seconds we've got, share with our listeners how we need to celebrate Christmas this year.
Amen. Let us make sure that we don't get the wrong understanding. We're not telling you not to wash and sanitize.
Right.
This is something that we should have been doing before the COVID ever came.
Right, right.
Amen. We should have been practicing cleanliness. But let us draw near, amen, to God, amen, in heart, in the full assurance of faith, knowing, amen, that he will and he shall answer our prayers. He wants us, amen, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice and not, amen, take things lightly, amen, at this season.
Yes.
To where we don't worship and celebrate Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and learn how to love one another.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We pray that this Christmas will be wonderful in the celebration of recognizing that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Evening worship service or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.